once was lost in sin. But Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven bathed my soul. He bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. I want to talk to you today on this topic, losing our leprosy, in four easy steps. Losing our leprosy in four easy steps. Well, as you know, nothing is always that easy. But the description of the steps is easy enough. I want you to notice that a leper today finds healing. And he finds that healing by following these steps. First of all, he admits the reality. Secondly, he accepts the relationship. Thirdly, he applies the remedy. Fourthly, he announces the result. Now, first of all, he admits the reality. Let me just say as a prelude to this point that when we look at leprosy in the Bible, there were true lepers who had the disease of leprosy, which was a horrible and disfiguring disease, and not only that, but it excluded them from the community. They had to live apart on the edges of town, in caves, away from everyone else. They had to shout from a distance if anyone came near, unclean, unclean. And the disease was progressive. It began with little sores, it began to spread, and they became pustules, and they began to ooze pus, and became very disfiguring to the face. The person began to take on the appearance of a lion. Little by little, the muscles begin to degrade, and the tendons pull in tight, and the fingers get gnarled. And as the disease progresses, fingers and toes begin to fall off. Finally, an entire hand or a foot. Eventually, their mental faculties degrade. They slip into a coma and die. 10 to 30 years this disease progresses. A terrible disease. Now, but do you see, and I want you to also understand that Scripture speaks of leprosy as a symbol for what sin does to us spiritually. I don't have time this morning to develop all the scriptural points, but I might declare or point out to you, for example, Psalm 38. But again, I want you to see that this is not a story about some leper 2,000 years ago, because you see, brothers and sisters, we are the leper. If we just understood what sin does to us, it's a terrible thing in our soul. Now, therefore, the first step that this leper goes through in his healing is to admit the reality. I am a leper. I have leprosy. I am in serious trouble and in serious need of healing. Step one, church. But remember, we are the leper. Now you see, we try to avoid looking at the reality of our sin, and we just sort of put it over here, and we don't quite look at it. There's a number of different ways we do this. One way is that we compare ourselves to someone else who we think is more sinful. Well, I may have my issues, but at least I'm not like that prostitute, or that drug pusher, or my boss, or something like that. We don't want to look at our own leprosy, so we look at somebody else. See, we do this, don't we? So that's one way that we refuse to admit that we have any problems that really are very serious. Oh, we all say, in humility, I have a few little things that I need to deal with. After all, I'm only human. But we don't really want to call it what it is, a progressive disease called spiritual leprosy. That if we don't face it and bring it to Jesus, it will get worse and worse. Now, another way that we avoid admitting our leprosy is to deny that there is such a thing as leprosy. And many people today have simply taken on a defiant attitude towards sin. And so we hear today many strident claims that the church or the Bible or whatever is judgmental because it's saying that I'm doing something wrong. Who are you to judge me? You see, and so we deny the reality of sin. And there's just this attitude of defiance. And so it is that we start to say that things are good, which God has said in the Bible, are bad. And anytime somebody wants to say, well, there's something wrong with that behavior, well, we say, how dare you? You see, we're just not going to look at the possibility that there might be something wrong with what we're doing. Today, there is a lot of sexual disobedience. People said, it's okay to fornicate, no problem with that. Well, God says there is a problem with it. We've got to cut that out. Looking at pornography, oh, there's no problem with that. Nobody gets hurt. Well, tell me that the poor woman or other people that get involved with that don't have pretty miserable lives in that kind of a life. I think other people do get hurt, but even there, all I know is the Lord said we're not to lust after other people in our heart. We're not to do that. And we're not to call good what God has called bad. Homosexual activity, all these things are paraded around us as though they're okay. And God says, well, they're not. If people struggle with their orientation, that's a different matter. But in the end, we're to live chastely, whatever our struggles are. We're to live chastely in God's kingdom. Now, another issue today, we like to glorify violence. We call it fun and video games and adventure movies and we call it good and entertaining, but God calls it bad. Greed. You know, we have this big financial problem that we've got now. And I'm not enough of a financial analyst to tell you all the roots of it, but I am enough of a spiritual observer in my own life and in the lives of others to know that part of what got us into this trouble is just plain old greed. We've been buying all kinds of stuff that we can't really afford, and we've been putting it out on credit, and eventually the market begins to crash because there's not enough there. There's just not enough money to cover all the unpaid bills. And our economy collapses. I think the Bible has a word for that, it's greed. But again, we want to call it something else. And say that it's good when God said it's not good. So again, this defiance that is common today, where we simply shake our fist at anyone who dares to question our behavior, even if it's God and His holy word, and we refuse to admit our leprosy. So, I simply say to you, brothers and sisters, admit it. Admit it. We're all struggling with some form of leprosy. And it is
what it is. Don't call something good that God has called sin. Don't just try to compare yourself to someone else and say, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Just for a moment, admit that all of us, the preacher included, have leprosy. We got to go to the Lord. Amen, church? So the first step then in losing our leprosy is to admit the reality. Now, this leper gets on his knees and says, I've got a problem. And he gets on his knees and he goes to Jesus. And he cries out for help. Lord, if you will, you can heal me. Well, that means he knows he's sick. For who goes to the doctor unless they're sick? So it is, he's before the Lord. He kneels down and says, if you want, you could make me clean. Now the second step, not only to admit the reality, but to accept the relationship. Now, I want you to pay attention to a word here, because, brothers and sisters, there's a word here that we need to recapture. The word is pity. But it says here that Jesus was moved with pity. And he stretched out his hand and he touched him. And he said to him, I do will it. Be made clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Now, brothers and sisters, if you and I have leprosy, we have to have a personal and transformative relationship with Jesus Christ, who alone can save us. Are you praying with me? We have to accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior and walk with Him. But this word pity, in modern English, it tends to be a demeaning word. If you pity somebody, you're sort of thinking of yourself as superior and looking down and you're saying, oh, the poor slob, you know. But the word pity here, in biblical texts, we have to go back to sometimes the original meaning of these words. Now, the original meaning of the word pity is rooted in a Latin word, pietas, which means family love. Did you hear that? Family love. It's a special kind of love in the ancient world, in both Greek language and the Latin language. Pietas is not just any kind of a love, it is a family love. Now do you see why I'm asking you to reflect with me that the second step in our healing is that we accept a relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, hallelujah, church. The book of Hebrews says that the Lord is not ashamed to call us His brothers and sisters. Hallelujah, church. He's willing to join our dysfunctional family. With all the nuts falling out of the family tree, the Lord is willing to join our family and to be seen as a brother to us. Now, we all sometimes want to say, that's not my family member. That is not one of my children. But the Lord is willing to say, I am not ashamed to call you a brother or a sister. Oh, thank you, Lord. And He invites us into a saving, healing, and transformative relationship. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. To enter into this relationship. And so the leper comes to Jesus, and Jesus experiences family love. And He does something unthinkable in the ancient world. He touches a leper. You heard the instruction today in the Old Testament, right? They're supposed to stand off and say, unclean, unclean! Don't even come close. But this man runs close to Jesus and kneels down. And Jesus not only sees him as a brother, he is moved with family love. And he touches him. Again, I'm mindful of an old gospel song. He touched me. An unthinkable thing to do to a leper. And yet, there it is. So it is that this leper enters into this relationship. Now, how are you and I going to experience real healing from our leprosy? Again, it's not just a one-time touch. Isn't it that daily touch that we need from the Lord? Isn't it that daily walk? Isn't it that relationship that is meant to transform? I don't know about you, but I'm a hard case. I have a thick skull and a stiff neck. And so the Lord has to stay in a relationship with me. It's going to take more than one visit to the doctor. Are you praying with me? And the Lord wants to do that for us. He wants us to enter into this family relationship with Him. And so it is that we are asked to stay in this relationship. You see, some people live their life in crisis mode. When there's a problem, they run to Jesus. And then they're out of there. The real healing comes from a daily walk with Jesus. Daily prayer, daily scripture, weekly mass and Holy Communion, frequent confession. This is what brings the healing. To be in the relationship that transforms us. Now, the third step. It says here that Jesus, well, here's the step. To apply the remedy. Now, it's one thing to be cured, but we have to also avoid falling into bad health again. And so it is that the Lord says to him, tell no one anything, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed, and that will be proof to them. Now, pay attention, church, because you know what I'm about to talk about. I believe it's called the sacrament of confession. But before I get there, let's look at the Old Testament root. When someone had leprosy, and some people were cured of leprosy, or had episodes of leprosy, which cleared up at least for a time, and they could once again live in community. And the one who had to make the ruling on that was the priest. The priest were trained to observe leprosy. And then seeing it, to be able to diagnose it and to announce whether a person was in fact clean or unclean. Now, the Old Testament gave that obligation and that role to the priest, to the Levites. They were carefully trained in this. Now, that's what Jesus culturally has in mind. A leper received readmission to the community only after visiting the priest. Now, the Lord healed him. But the priest announced that healing. Did you hear what I just said? Now listen carefully. The Lord healed him, but the priest announced that healing. Confession. Charles Pope can't forgive you your sins. Did you just hear that? I'm talking about myself now. Charles Pope can't cure you of your sins. But Jesus Christ can. Someone say amen. But it is given to Reverend Charles Pope by Jesus Christ this power to announce your healing. I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It is Jesus who speaks. But He would have us present ourselves to the priest for the announcement of that healing. Now, Where did you say to Jesus, tell the priest to do that? John chapter 20. He said to the apostles, after he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, he said, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain, they are retained. Now the Lord wasn't simply handing over his ability to forgive sins to them in a vague sense. It would always be the Lord himself who forgave sin. But he wanted to work this ministry through his first priest, the apostles. And so he gave them the power to forgive sin, or in some cases, to retain it. So that the priest has the obligation, just like in the Old Testament, to inspect the person. In the Old Testament, they would look at the situation. They would actually examine the sores. And then they would announce whether the leprosy was cured or not. And so it is that one of the obligations of a priest in confession is to speak wholeheartedly to a person, to listen carefully to the evidence, and then to announce that in fact the Lord has set them free. Or in a few cases, rare, but a few cases, has not. Because sometimes a person will come to confession and say, well, I'm really sorry about what I'm doing, but I have no intention of changing. Well, your leprosy remains. So you see, I'm trying to explain to you a biblical vision of confession. I receive a certain power as a priest, but it's from the Lord, and it's the Lord's work. It is not some, you know, every now and then you hear a criticism, some man can't forgive me my sins. No, only the Lord. But all I know is that the Lord said, go show yourself to the priest. Again, it was the obligation of a priest in the Old Testament to examine the leprosy and to declare whether or not it had been cured. So it is that the third step in our leprosy is to apply the remedy. The remedy's been given. It's kind of like the doctor gives you the medicine, but it's time to go home and apply the medicine. Well, the Lord is asking us to be frequent about confession. I don't mean to say to you that every single small sin requires that you go to confession, but it ought to be a frequent part of any biblical Christian's life that we go and, quote, show ourselves to the priest. And I want you to know something. I'm a priest, but I show myself to the priest. I have a regular confessor, and I see that confessor once a week. And so it is that I too am under the same obligation as a disciple. Well, finally, I want to simply say to you that in looking about this process of losing our leprosy, it says here that not only did he admit the reality, this leper, and accept this relationship with Jesus, who was moved with family love and touched him, but he then applied the remedy, and it says, and then Jesus says, well, the final step is that this man then announces the result. Because, church, if the Lord has worked in your life and he started to set you free, you got to tell somebody. Now, Jesus does something strange here. He says here, see to it that you don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. Well, church, now, there's a couple of ways of interpreting this. Either Jesus had his tongue firmly planted in his cheek, not a word to anyone now. Or, perhaps, what Jesus said, maybe he meant to him is, he wasn't into just, you know how some of the TV evangelists sort of stage, I wouldn't say stage, let's just say there's real healings that go on, but they kind of turn it into almost a circus act. You know, healing can be a very private thing. Jesus doesn't want to make a spectacle out of this man. You see what I'm saying, church? He respects him. But I got it on the best of authority that that man left to go show himself to the priest and knew he was healed, and he started singing a gospel song. And maybe you know the gospel song I'm about to quote, but it simply goes like this. Well, I thought I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself what the Lord has done for me. And I started walking, I started talking, I started singing, I started shouting, oh, what the Lord has done for me. Because you see, church, when you're healed by the Lord, it's an amazing thing to just begin to tell somebody. And church, the world is longing to hear the story of transformation. The world is tired of hearing slogans. The world wants to hear, your loved ones want to hear your story, the testimony of what the Lord is doing in your life. Tell your children. Tell your grandchildren. Oh, you think they should know. Maybe they don't know. Tell them what the Lord is doing in your life. Tell them how He's setting you free. Tell them that there were certain sins that you used to commit that you don't commit anymore. There were certain attitudes that used to plague you. Maybe it was anger or sorrow or negativity. And you're beginning to experience greater serenity and peace and a greater love for even troubling people in your life. Maybe it was a problem with a certain addiction and you're experiencing freedom. Whatever it is, tell somebody what the Lord has done for you. Oh, church, it's a powerful message. You see, it's too easy for us just to talk in slogans, but we got to be personal. It's okay to say to someone, Jesus can set you free. And they say, that sounds like good news. How do I know it's true? And you've got to be able to say, look at me. I'm a witness. I have a testimony to give. And so it is that also is part of our healing. Because if we begin to tell to others what the Lord has done for us, we begin to become more and more aware of just how good the Lord has been in our life. Are you praying with me? You know, I feel so good when I'm telling folks in a personal way what the Lord has done in my life. I begin to feel confidence. I begin to feel strength. I begin to feel even more healing as I testify that the Lord's been good to me. And then I begin to know that I know He didn't bring me this far to leave me. I know that I can truly say I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be because a change has come over me. So church today, let's admit the reality of our leprosy. But let's not stop there. Let's run to the Lord and accept the relationship. And accepting the relationship, let's apply the remedy. In our Catholic tradition, the regular remedy is regular confession. And then let's announce the result. And church, we Catholics are terrible about this. Terrible. Some other churches have a great tradition of testimony. We got to get better at it. Because there are plenty of room in this church right now for folks who need the same process in their life. So, I thought I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. Oh, church, what the Lord has done for me. Amen.